Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're here with Scott Schiffer and Brad Wright. How are we doing today, Brad?
Oh, doing great, Scott.
The Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD, XDV. If you have content from an MPEG to a DVD and you want to pull it off, or into Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Studio, Final Cut Express, iMovie, you name it, doesn't matter. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get SuperDrive upgrades for your PowerBook, for your G4, your G5, 16X dual layer, 8X dual layer, and a portable. Check them out, MCETech.com, and our media partners of American Photo Magazine at AmericanPhoto.com, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine at PopPhoto.com. Launching a brand new website here very quick, so you want to check out PopPhoto.com. The guys over at Creative Pro, the place for creatives. If you're doing creative stuff, InDesign, Photoshop, they got huge forums, they got a tip list, tons of great stuff. You can check them out at CreativePro.com. Mac Update at Mac Update, the place to get software updates.
Yeah, quick, that's what's called Mac Update.
That's it, MacUpdate.com, and the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less at PrintingForLess.com, and the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges, Thursday to 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at DigitalProductionBuzz.com. So, Brad.
Yes.
How are you today?
Oh, we're doing great. You know, the fog is back in San Francisco, and it's freezing out there.
You know, it's pretty chilly.
It's like cold. 50,
it's nice, though.
I know, it's nice. It's kind of like, you know, you can just turn off your air conditioning now and just open the window. It's great.
Yeah, you don't need the AC on.
Yeah.
You know, I just spent a week in Hollywood in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, it was overcast. You know, the weather was nice, but it was still like 80 degrees, a little, you know, a little muggy.
It's that, yeah.
A little smog mixed in with a deal. You know, you can't really tell what's up.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that north area of Los Angeles. Yeah, it's something else.
Yeah, yeah, checking that deal out. That was cool. But what have you been up to?
Not a whole heck of a lot this week. I didn't travel anywhere and didn't see a whole heck of a lot. It was a pretty eventful week. Next week, I might be in Southern California. Don't know yet.
Really?
Let's see what happens, yes.
Well, we have the Final Cut Pro User Group meeting coming up on the 28th.
Actually, yeah, the 28th. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Graham Natras is going to be down there showing off his stuff. He's a great guy. Does a lot of high-end type video, film look type of stuff. And should be a good meeting. I'm going down for that one. I'm booked. Yeah, we're there.
I'm back over to... back to my friends over there on Sunset. I have to go back and see again.
Oh, so, yes.
Of course, I'll probably come down because that'll be... matter of fact, he's out of town. But either way, I'll probably go down and hang out with Michael.
Yeah, it'll be cool. It's going to be a good meeting. It's always fun. It's a blast down there. We always have a good time.
Problem is, though, you can't get a flight late enough, you know, after the meeting. By the time you go to, you know, do the deal and the pizza gig and we're all done.
Yeah, you're going to be sticking around an extra day. Plus, after the pizza deal, you want to.
Well, if we drink and stay up late enough, then I figure if we get a hook on and by the time 2:33 comes along, you slither back to the airport completely wasted. You know, try to sober up. It's like 6:37. You can get on the first flight out.
Oh, come on. Oh, man. That sounds brutal.
Sounds like something Greg would do.
Yeah, but if you're in the...
That's it, brother.
That's what Greg would do, huh?
Yeah,
but, you know, that's our producer out there, Greg, we're talking about.
Yeah, Greg likes to. He's one of the adventurous types.
Yes.
He's not scared. He's a manly man.
He doesn't have kids and a family and a huge mortgage yet. He's still a free man.
There you go. Whoa. Hey, you know, we have a pretty cool show lineup today.
Yes.
We do. We have coming up next, we have Philip Hodges going to do the digital post-production, post-pre-production distribution news coming. We have Andy Schaller going to do the Mac Design Out of the Box tip.
And he's going to be here today?
No. No, Andy's on the phone.
Oh, he's going to be actually on the phone today.
Yeah, he's on the phone. He's actually going to be here today. Last week he was, here's the deal, and here's a little tip for, well, we only got 40 seconds, but either way, we'll talk about Andy after that. We're going to have Sam Levin, Mark James on from SoftRaid. We have a very special treat for everybody in studio. We have the people from FirmTech.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Kim Stanford.
We have them live here, and it's going to be
brand new SATA cards for the eExpress slot for the PowerBooks, the little teeny one. They have really cool stuff. So we're going to be talking to them in studio here. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We have a bunch of other stuff coming up. Dean Orlando, stay tuned. www.insidemacradio.com. Next up, Philip Hodges will be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4 and the very cool hardware device called Protégé. This is a little firewire device. Plug it in the side of your Mac, and it boots up Mac OS X, and you can run TechTool Pro and fix it if something's wrong. It's a savior on the fly.
It's a very cool product.
It is pretty neat.
It's very inexpensive, and it'll fit in your backpack or wherever you're traveling. Better than a drive with a whole bunch of cables and a big old, you know, power supply.
Yeah, or just even carrying around a CD.
Yeah, even carrying the CD.
And it's fast.
Yes.
It's a firewire, so you can boot off it pretty quick, because you never tried booting Mac OS X off a CD.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a few minutes.
Yep.
Or half hour. Yeah. Check that out, micromat.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, digital production buzzmeister, and he's got all the post-production distribution news that's fit to eat. How are we doing, Philip?
We're doing well, very well.
Oh, that's lovely, mate. So what's happening this week?
Well, something I just found, literally just this morning found, from DV Creators, who normally do some great training programs for the Final Cut Studio and for Avid Liquid and other fine products. They've released a little simple utility that I think is just genius. It's called QuickTime Movie Note Taker.
That is
free.
Cool.
Oh, so is it like for logging?
Yes, exactly. It's a very simple app that just loads up a QuickTime movie. It'll load any movie. It'll scale an HD movie down to fit whatever screen space you have for it. And then it has a text area beside it. It loads up first. It loads the movie name and duration and stuff like that automatically. And then it's very simple. Just play through the movie. It either click on a button or hit a keyboard equivalent, and it stops playing, inserts the time, and puts a cursor there ready for you to actually start writing the notes. Or you can just hit a different keyboard equivalent, and it'll just put the time marker in without stopping playback.
Now, here's the key question. When you export it, does it come into Final Cut Pro with all the text tracks?
It exports the text as a separate text item.
Oh, that's still not bad, yeah.
Yeah, so you can borrow it. It's a separate text file, which you can even... It's even got a direct email to... So email the text file straight to somebody else if you wanted to do that straight from QuickTime Movie Note Taker.
Now, does this actually, this only works on the Mac, or does it work on a heathen box too?
It'll work on a heathen box too. Windows
really?
XP is supported, yep.
Dude, I do a lot of work with another company that I have to get, we send them a lot of video stuff, and then they send me back an edit decision list, and they have to watch it in QuickTime and make these notes in like a text file.
Yep.
This is the answer.
That is the thing, yes.
Yep, yep.
And it works on a heathen box. Amazing.
The only downside to it right now is that it reads the movie time, not the QuickTime timecode track.
Oh. Well, that's still not bad. That's
no,
a
that's
good
how
start.
We do our edit decision list now, is when I send them the deal, they just read the movie time in QuickTime.
Oh, that's fine.
And write down 1:03 to 1:12.
Yeah, but for guys that have they're feeding in, you know, for higher end solutions that are taking time code off of a clock or something, you know, externally, then yeah, that could be a problem. But for you guys, it'd be fine.
But they have a future version. They mentioned on their website that it's a QuickTime Movie Note Taker Pro is coming, and it will support SMPT time code. So I'm guessing that will read the time code track.
Yeah, that'll pick up the time code track. That's pretty cool. That's a
nice
solution.
And probably not be free.
Yeah. Oh, this one's that's to get you hooked, and then you got to buy the real stuff.
Oh, well, I guess so. But you do know that you can actually get that QuickTime time code in QuickTime Player 7.1 or later.
Oh.
It disappeared in QuickTime 7. It was there in QuickTime 6, and earlier you had to sort of go into the settings and select the track and then the right pop-up menu, and you eventually could find it. Well, now if you click, I think it's click on the time code display or the time display in the QuickTime player, it'll swap to frames or to the actual QuickTime time code track.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. So that was something they slipped back in, which is, you know, useful for pros who want to actually know what time code is. So you go and then and QuickTime Movie Note Taker, you can find at dvcreators.net/QT-movie-note-taker.
Very cool. That sounds really nice.
It's got a lot of functionality. It's officially only at 0.5, but I think we've lost the whole meaning of dot releases these days. 0.5 should mean it's not stable and not ready for release.
I think it's right. Well, 0.5 depends upon the company you're talking about, because, like, you know, if it's a Microsoft product, it's like, you know, 6.0 and it's still not stable. So,
well, this is 0.5, so, yeah. But it's stable.
You have to have, like, a, you know, a multiplier or some kind of adjustment factor based on the company.
Yeah. If you are talking to any of your Heathen Box friends and they've got GarageBand Envy,
yes.
M Audio have released a new application called Session.
Really?
Yep, even in their press release, they likened it to a PC version of GarageBand.
Wow,
now I'd like to see that. Tony McCall, the VP of Mem Audio's Consumer Group, says, Apple's GarageBand has done a wonderful job of bringing consumer music creation to the Mac market. As a result, there's a huge contingent of users who are hungry for a PC-friendly solution. And Mem Audio Session is exactly what they've been looking for. I haven't played this because I haven't set up my MacBook Pro to boot into Windows yet, but it's going to start shipping with some of their hardware boxes free, and it eventually will ship with pretty much everything that they ship free. So, share that with your Heathen friends.
I feel so sorry for them.
And if you're hankering for a little bit of fast storage on your MacBook Pro and you're a little upset with the absence of that FireWire 800 port, FirmTech have actually shipped ahead of time their serial ATA Express Card 34 adapter.
Yes.
Express card 34 slot, and you've got two serial ATA ports, 3 gigabits a second connection speed. That's about 375 megabytes per second on each port.
A little better than FireWire 800 there, huh?
Yep. The only difficulty is you are limited to two. It doesn't support port multiplication in this release.
Yeah, but the whole port multiplication deal, I don't think really even is right with, you know, you see these guys selling enclosures that say they're port multipliers, but yep. They're like a bottleneck in the chip. They doesn't really advertise what they say. I think you're better off running each SATA port to each drive and then just have, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how much do you need? Think about it. Okay, so you got one of these new cards, right?
Yep.
It's got two ports on it. You can buy these two of these new 750 gigabyte drives.
That's true.
1.5 terabyte in a small little package. I mean, how much is that going to be at 10-bit uncompressed 1080 HD?
Well, the problem with the 1080 HD is that the drives themselves aren't fast enough to run 1080. So that's the problem. You still need a RAID.
Yeah, but who's doing HD like that on the fly?
Well, Jerry Adcock? You can always strike the two connected drives as a RAID.
Yeah.
Right.
But you still need... I think the port multiplier is an excellent idea, but you got to wait for it to sort of shake out. I think that's a story. It's not... don't believe everything you read, I guess, is the idea.
The product is made by engineering. The specifications are done by marketing. They don't always talk to each other.
No, but that FirmTech card is really cool, and they're the only guys that have one. So they should be, you know, that thing should be flying off the shelf, I bet, quick.
There is another one coming. The same. It's actually an OEM card, and what will differentiate it between it and the other company that will have it shortly is the drivers. So the card is hardware OEM'd, and there is a third party writing drivers, and there's another one announced, but I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
I think that's where FirmTech's got a grip on it because, you know, they write their own hardware drivers and, that, you know, they're doing way low level, even below kernel extension stuff to make all this hardware talk to each other. And
they're ahead of time. I mean, we don't often hear that something's actually scheduled for Q3 and we're not even to the end of Q2 yet and it's shipping.
Yeah. You got to love
shipping,
that.
DigiDesigns have actually shipped Pro Tools LE and Pro Tools Empowered 7.1.1, which means that they work on Intel Macs natively.
Yeah. Very nice.
So if you've got an Intel Mac and you want to do some really serious audio work, I'm finding that Soundtrack Pro is actually good enough for me with my limited requirements, but you can get that.
Philip, how do we find out more information about the Digital Production Buzz?
Head on over to digitalproductionbuzz.com. You can catch the show live on Thursday nights or in the podcast afterwards.
Cool, thanks. You're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac. Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you've created some great content, now you need to pull it back off that DVD and bring it back into Final Cut, iMovie, you name it. This is what you need. Really easy. Just select what you need. Click a button, export. Back to its original happy format. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. Right now we're here with Andrew Shout, the Mac Design Out of the Box author, with a very cool tip of the week. And I think his first tip is don't get Vonage.
Well, just that, like, for sure.
Oh yeah, they have a miserable IPO.
Well, that's why Andy,
I have Vonage. They're great.
Andy wasn't out driving around in his lovely Porsche Boxer where the gracious folk live.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't make it with us last week because his Vonage went down and he had no phone.
Oh, okay, no.
I want to be accurate about this. It turns out that we live by the sword, we die by the sword. We're tech weenies. Yes, I have voice over IP. I use Vonage. I did not buy the IPO, but I do use it every day, and usually it works fine, and we're talking on it right now.
Yeah.
But, yes, last week my internet was just going down. Right and left. Couldn't get my email, couldn't get online. I'd get on for 30 seconds.
So it wasn't Vonage, it was your ISP.
Even worse, it was my fault. My modem went out, and I didn't. And so I'm calling everybody and blaming everybody else, but it really, when it came down to it, I went out on Monday morning, and I bought a new modem, a new cable modem, and everything is just tickety-boo.
Okay, then we're sorry, Vantage, for bashing.
Sorry, yeah,
on.
We don't want to bash Vantage. They've been enough bad. I use them personally. I like them.
I love it. I
love
it.
Do you use Vantage too?
I have Vantage, yes.
I mean, I could go to Europe with this thing, and you wouldn't know that I'm calling from somebody's IP over in Europe. You know, it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's very nice. But aside from that, as long as we're talking about, you know, dissing some big companies, I figured, why not? Let's talk about Quark Express versus InDesign this week.
Okay, so what camp is Andy in?
Well, let's get to that. I you know, because Quark Express, let's just set the scene. Quark Express is coming out finally with a version 7. After a few years of sort of missing the mark, ever since version 4, they just really blew it. They were arrogant, and they didn't believe that Adobe was going to come up with anything that was feasible. And InDesign, I think, is really, really proven itself to be a great application. And I think you can hear from my tone that where I sit. They recently announced that they're going to come out with Quark Express 7. It's going to be universal. Right now it's got a beta out. You can't even get the full version yet. But the improvements, a lot of Quark people are going to still love it because it brings it almost up to speed with InDesign. And this is a big decision, by the way, for designers. You know, what camp you're in. It's very expensive to buy a whole new kit, you know?
Uh-huh.
And Quark has notoriously been expensive for the last 10 years or so. If you wanted to upgrade, they really thumbed their nose at you. So it was almost like, yeah, $500 for an upgrade from version 3 to 5 or whatever. So now they've lowered the prices and everything, and they're trying to get people to jump back on board. But I think the boat has left the port. I think that it's a little bit too little too late, you know. They came out with some new things like the fact that you can import Photoshop files natively with the layers intact and everything. Well, you know, InDesign had that from day one. And it's got now transparency. InDesign had that as well. They're really splitting hairs on what their thing does that's better or worse, and I suggest people go on to Quark Express or quarkexpress.com, which will bring you to the site, and read their Why Choose Quark Express. Then go to Adobe and find the InDesign pages and read their little page on Why Choose InDesign and make your own decision. I will say this, though. I love InDesign because it's integrated with the Creative Suite,
but I use the Quark shortcuts within InDesign because that's habit.
Hey, how's Andy, that? How do we get to your website? We got 6 seconds.
Okay, Shallot.com. How's that?
There you go. Thanks. That was Andy Shallot. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. Do you need to upgrade that PowerBook drive?
Yes, I need to upgrade that PowerBook drive.
You do? Do you want an 8X dual-layer drive in your PowerBook?
I want an 8X PowerBook dual-layer drive.
MCE Tech is also an Apple-authorized reseller, so you can get a new MacBook Pro, a new MacBook. You can get it already stuffed full of memory, a bigger hard drive.
Yep.
You can get iPods from. Plus, they have their king of super drive upgrades.
Yes.
Memory, all kinds of cool stuff. Check them out.
Yeah.
MCE Tech. That's MCE Tech, T-E-C-H. com. I want to spend this segment because, you know, we were talking with Andrew about this a few minutes ago, and it's a cool technology that works on your Mac, and you actually use it.
Yes.
Voice over IP.
Voice over IP, yes.
Now, Vonage has it. Some other companies have voice over IP.
Yeah.
Tell us on how this works and how you would actually use this if you were going to do a mobile gig with your PowerBook. So let's say you're never home.
Yep.
And you're all kinds of places, but you want to have a central phone number. You hate cell phone companies like I do.
Uh-huh.
All of them.
Yes.
They're all nasty.
Cell phone companies, especially certain cell phone companies with lack of coverage, and
you know, I actually have Sprint. Okay,
that's what I was talking about.
I have Sprint, and I get great coverage everywhere.
Oh, really?
Except the phones they sell are garbage. I want to buy a Motorola phone.
Yeah,
you know, I don't care if it has bad battery life. I want a cool Motorola phone.
Yep.
Or I want whatever.
Sony Ericsson? Or
did you see this new one that this new Motorola that Verizon has?
No.
It's like a palm device type thing. I don't know.
Oh.
Brand new. You know, you can't have these cool phones. So maybe the solution is to have a centralized phone number.
Yes.
That is a Vonage gig.
Mm-hmm.
It's got built-in voicemail, of course. So if you're not around to answer the phone,
it goes straight to voicemail. Yes.
Then wherever you go with your PowerBook, wherever you get back to the hotel or where you're traveling or the office at home or whatever, you can check your voicemail.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can. Can you check it over the web?
Oh, well, actually, what's even better is that you have a Vonage account, let's say, set up. Now, here's the situation. You get your Vonage account. It looks like just a regular phone number to the outside world. So people can dial you out. Nothing funny or anything that you have to have as far as source software. You can have. They'll send you a little box that you can plug into your your Ethernet connection, or maybe you can even find like a wireless link if you need a wireless link for this little box. But put this little box in, and you plug a regular standard phone jack into it.
So it's got an RJ45 on one of this Ethernet.
And an RJ11 on the other side.
And that's it.
And how
big is this box?
It's pretty small. It's like, you know, maybe the size of an external drive or smaller.
Okay, so I got to carry that in a phone around with my backpack and my PowerBook.
No.
So what do I do for a mobile guy?
Okay, so if you're a mobile guy and you've got yourself a Bluetooth headset, you know, those little dongly things that you hang on for your ear or something like that. You can connect that up to your Bluetooth-enabled Macintosh, and you can make phone calls off of that because Vonage has a separate extra account where you can actually share that phone number or have a separate phone number that goes straight to your laptop.
Really?
And so, yes. So you can make basically, I mean, I dial people internationally all the time. I go out and this is where it really, you know, this is where it really pays for itself, is it's like 5 cents a minute to Australia.
Really?
Yeah. And some countries, it's like 10 cents a minute or something. And it comes with, I think, 500 free minutes, and it only costs you 14. That's 500 free domestic minutes, of course. And it only costs like $15 a month.
Okay, so you're telling me to get this voice over IP gig, it works with a laptop.
Yeah.
I can use the very cool Plantronics. Have you seen the little Plantronics Bluetooth piece?
It fits in like
a little pin holder. Keith from Apple
I use the Jabber. I use the Jabber because it's really comfortable. It's nice. There's a whole slew.
Some of them are so chunky, it looks like you're a Borg.
Yeah.
Okay.
You will be assimilated.
Our buddy of ours, Art, has got a Borg looking thing.
Borg look, yeah.
You know? But this, the guy from Apple, our buddy Keith from Apple, has this Plantronics one. It's so small, and it fits into this little holder that's like a pin with a battery. We'll talk about it later. You're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by our media partners, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine at popphoto.com, and of course, their partner publication, American Photo at americanphoto.com. Cool stuff there. Find out all the great information about digital photography, all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, these guys rock. Both publications have tons
and
of millions of
subscribers. And they've been around for just years. I mean, they are really the experts in this type of subject.
It's a de facto deal for photography. So if you're into photography, digital photography, Dick and iPhoto, and your brand new D200, check it out, popphoto.com and americanphoto.com. Right now, we're here with Mark James. He is the CEO, the man from SoftRate. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, give our listeners a little rundown. What is SoftRate, and what's this whole thing with, you know, SoftRate?
So SoftRate is a small company that produces a small product that does RAID on the Macintosh, and we've been doing this since 1996. RAID is basically the ability to take two or more disks and make up one volume on your desktop. Those two disks can be mirrored together, like two disks that basically are identical copies bit for bit, or they can be striped together, which is kind of like adding another lane to a highway. They go in parallel so you can get more traffic or more data through your disk with the same throughput. So it actually increases performance. And SoftRate allows you to mix and match RAID volumes on any set of disks you might have, 2, 3, 4, 5 disks, etc.
Now, there's software RAID.
Yes, and there's hardware RAID.
There's hardware RAID. Now, how does software RAID compare to if you were doing something that's in a hardware-based RAID?
Okay, so they're kind of different niches. Hardware RAID uses a processor with either a controller card or a PC card that goes inside a computer, and it's a higher-end market designed for people who absolutely need what's called high data availability. In other words, they need their data available to them at all times. And generally, hardware RAID systems are in the multiple thousands of dollars, and good ones are, you know, 10,000 on up in general, such as the Apple X-RAID box, which is a nice piece of hardware at a fair price. Software RAID relies on the CPU of your computer to basically do the parity or the RAID calculations, and it's very cost-effective, very reliable when it's done properly, and you know it basically goes along the just works philosophy. It's very easy to implement.
So let's talk about these different types of RAIDs. People have heard there's 0, 1, 3, 5, 13, whatever. You guys
do a
couple different versions, and there's a RAID 0. There's what's called striping and mirroring. Can you tell us what those, our listeners, what that all means?
Sure. RAID 0 is, you know, in other words, referred to as striping. 0 basically means no parity, no protection, i.e., you can take two or more disks and stripe them together, and you will get faster performance. The downside is that if any of those disks fail, everything is lost. You never, ever, ever put important data on a stripe volume.
That's very, very true. And so when you get up to RAID 1, what is the difference now between RAID 0 and RAID 1?
So RAID 1 is disk mirroring, and basically you have two disks that you know, metaphorically are stacked one on top of another, and you have one volume on your desktop, and any time you write to that volume, it writes to both disks at the same time, and any time you read from that volume, it'll actually read from both disks at the same time. So you actually get striping performance, more or less, on a mirror volume, and you get the performance of a single disk with write. So you get, you know, very good performance, and if either disk were to fail, you basically get a dialog box that says, you got to go do something. You don't even crash in most cases.
That's pretty nice. Now, I think 0 and 1 are one of the most commons. I know 3, 4, 2, 3, and 4 seem to be missing somewhere, but people seem to jump straight to 5.
Right. 2 is obsolete from the day it was, you know, created. RAID 3 still exists, but it's basically for high-performance, high-bandwidth streaming data. It works very badly when you have to do random reads and writes. RAID 4 is kind of a software version of RAID 3, and RAID 5 is really where most of the work is because it's the easiest to implement and works best on servers. The way RAID 5 works is a little bit complicated, but I'll try to describe it. Let's assume you have four disks, okay? And the first three disks effectively would have data, and the fourth disk would essentially have a piece of what's called parity, or a sum that will allow you to calculate what's on the other three disks if one of those were to disappear.
So it's sort of a key, it's a master key to what's on those other disks.
Right, and it rotates from disk to disk on a sector basis. So basically, the parity bit will go from disk 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, but to describe how it works, let's just assume it's on disk 4 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And on disk 1, we'll put the data 1, on disk 2, we'll put the data 2, on disk 3, we'll put the data 3, and on disk 4, we'll add it up, and we get 6. So let's assume disk 1 disappears, and the computer goes, oh my God, there's a disk missing. Well, let's go look at the parity data, which is number 6, subtract 3 and 2, which is 5, we get 1. Oh, the data that was on disk 1 must be 1. And it's more complicated than that,
right.
But that gives you a feel for how it works.
Yeah, it's called, I think it's they call it a Hamming algorithm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's called a Hamming algorithm that does that.
Exactly.
So Mark, let's talk about the good juicy stuff here.
Okay.
Mac OS X has some built-in software that does RAID stuff, but I know that SoftRAID does a lot of stuff the Apple one won't. So why don't you tell me what's the difference in Apple's RAID and SoftRAID?
Okay. So we're a small company that's competing with free. You know, once upon a time in the Mac OS 9 days, SoftRAID was the RAID software bundle with all of Apple servers. And when it came time for 10, you know, we basically went our own ways. The way Disk Utility was designed was for the XServe boxes and basically to mirror, for instance, the two halves or stripe the two halves of the XServe RAID. It is not a consumer-level product. It doesn't handle errors very well, and when things go wrong, it can go very wrong. So for robust hardware, what's built into Mac OS X can work fairly well. What SoftRAID does that's a little bit different is, first off, we allow you to have multiple RAIDs on the same disks. And I'll give you one quick example of where that's useful. Let's say you spend 5 hours a day doing Photoshop work, and everybody knows that Photoshop is very disk intensive, and they quite often will have a dedicated scratch volume. What you would do is take two disks, create a small scratch volume of, say, 10 gigabytes, and use that as your Photoshop scratch disk, and then the rest of the drives you'll mirror, and that's where you keep all your work. And we had some people at MacGurus, maybe you know about them, did some tests where they took a full stripe disk versus a dedicated Photoshop stripe volume, a small one, and saw virtually no performance increase in a stripe volume with a full Photoshop disk, where when you have a small dedicated volume, you got quite a significant boost in disk performance. Some other things SoftRAID will do is we allow you to have more than two disks in a mirror volume, which is useful when you're, for instance, want to back up something and can't figure out how to use backup software, retrospect, or whatnot, or your server's always running, you don't have time to shut it down to do backup. You can basically take, say, two disks that are online at all times, have disk 3 and 4 off in a server closet. On Friday, you bring in disk 3, let it rebuild to the original disk, rotate it off with disk 4 the next week, et cetera, and you always have offline storage without having to run a backup program.
Oh, that's really nice.
So we have a lot of little things in there. We track the amount of disk errors that come into the system. One thing we found in testing with Mac OS X is that it basically tries to ignore disk errors. So if the disk has an error, it doesn't tell you.
Ah, yes.
And so sometimes we have users that complain when they first get SoftRAID with brand new drives. These things were working fine before I put SoftRAID on them, and now they get errors. And, you know, when we explain what's going on and how, you know, Disk Utility wasn't telling them that the disks were having some problems, they get very happy very quickly.
Yes. Yeah, there's a whole lot, you know, and there's a whole lot going on under the hood that you don't know about, and that's why it's good to have these products like TechTool Pro,
mm-hmm.
And your product like SoftRaid, so that you know before, like, your entire life is on this hard drive, and then it suddenly is gone.
Yeah,
it's
well, you're not
out.
Kidding. I mean, some people spend months and months building up their music library for iTunes, put it all on one disc, they stick in the back of a Mini, it fails, and you know, they feel depressed for months. So yeah. It's so much safer to buy two discs, and for the extra $100, you know, you're protected if a disc fails.
Yeah, and discs are basically made out of paper these days. I mean, if you don't know, they're basically, there's just a little hamster on a wheel and some paper.
Yeah,
can
I put a plug in for a drive brand?
Yeah.
Because we obviously deal with a lot of discs, and what I personally have found from my years is I recommend Hitachi discs as much as possible right now.
Ah.
You know, the brands vary here and there, which is best, you know, and these days there's not that much difference. But if you look at what, for instance, EMC uses with their, you know, data silos, they use Hitachi. What does Apple use in their Xserve RAIDs? Hitachi. So you look at the people where the data counts the most, Hitachi seems to win those battles. So if you're going to buy a disk and you're going to make your own assembly, whether it's SATA or an external firmware box, you know, I just would put in plug for Hitachi, or, you know, if you can't find them at a good price, maybe Seagate, who has a good 5-year warranty. And the other two brands, I think, are more of a consumer thing. And if your data is important, you know, I would stick with the other two brands.
Wow. Hey, Mark, we're coming to a break. Why don't you hang with us for a second? We're here with Mark James from SoftRaid, talking about all these cool things. When we come back, we're going to find out from Mark where you can get this. They have a demo and how much it is. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We're talking about storage today. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you're creating cool stuff in InDesign, Cork, Go Live, Photoshop, whatever, you can go over to Creative Pro. They add great tips, forums, tons of information, lots of people to help you out. Check them out, creativepro.com. We're back here with Mark James from SoftRaid, and we were talking about the differences between SoftRaid and what it'll do and what's built into Mac OS X. Mark, one question I have here for you.
Uh-huh.
You can actually use your software, and let's say I have a pair of drives. Let's say I have my cool new FirmTech SATA card in my PowerBook, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple cool SATA drives in my FirmTech enclosure. I can actually put a couple drives in the enclosure, and I could RAID zero just part of each drive, right?
Yes.
So let's say if I want to just, we got a few minutes, but let's say I'm doing video capture and I want video performance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the faster, because hard drives are a round platter and the outsides are faster than the inside.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's right.
So can I RAID with SoftRaid just like the outer 30% of the drives?
Yes. The way you would do that,
wow,
is simply initialize both disks. Then you create a stripe volume first, which will use the fastest part of the disk, and you use between a third to a half of the drive. And then what I recommend you do with the last half is create a mirror volume where you put your final cuts, edits, important data, etc.
Oh, yeah.
So you can have a RAID O on the outer one-third of the disks.
Mm-hmm.
And a RAID 1 on the inside.
Yes.
Dude.
That's our recommendation for video application.
That is so nice. I have had more customers that have said that, you know, they've lost their entire life on a hard drive.
Oh, I've recovered data from some of those.
It's so common.
It's
wow.
A shame, because one person came to us that had a 16-drive stripe and one drive failed. And he wasn't thinking, and you know, that's a tough one.
So how do you recover?
If it's a software problem, which sometimes happens, we will, you know, for a much smaller fee than recovery companies, you know, work with them and try to recover them by repairing the partition map. If it's a hardware error, then we'll send them off to Drive Savers or some professional organization, because, you know, amateurs can't recover failed drives.
That is so amazing. You can stripe the inside and, you know, mirror the outside.
Or backwards. Stripe it, the outside of the stripe the outside of the platter and mirror the inside, because that's the slow part.
Yeah, for two reasons. The first one is obviously the disks are faster. The second is that OS X likes to spread data around a volume. And so if you just give it too big a volume to work with, it fragments your files regardless of what you think what it's doing.
Now, here's a question for you that's sort of off the whole RAID thing, but you know, you deal with this stuff every day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They say that you do not need to defrag a hard drive in Mac OS X.
This is an excellent subject, and we could spend 30 minutes on it. Generally, you don't, but in some cases, you definitely do want to, and sometimes the best thing to do is to simply back up your drive and recopy the data. For normal usage, you really don't need to defragment. If you're doing a lot of video editing or large audio editing where you're dealing with large files, what Mac OS X will try to do is, if this is the boot volume now, if it's not the boot volume, Mac OS X does not do anything. It'll try to keep them in 20 megabyte chunks, which allows them to stream pretty quickly into the, you know, into memory, etc. But once in a while, you really do need to defragment them, either by using, you know, a Tech Tool Pro type product or simply a backup and restore. You know, people forget that only the boot volume is automatically defragmented.
Wow. We need to have you back because there's so much stuff to talk about.
Sure,
there's journaled, non-journaled. Then do you journal with a RAID?
Yeah, we haven't talked about
journaling. Leave journaling on is the rule of thumb for your customer.
Now, if you do a RAID with SoftRAID, are the RAID mirrored or striped drives journaled also?
By default, we leave journaling on, but we allow you to, in real time, just flip it on and off.
And you want to keep journaling if it's RAIDed or not, then?
We haven't seen any performance difference and any disadvantage to journaling. So past 10.2, you know, which is a little bit flaky, once you get to Panther and beyond, journaling is fine. Just leave it on.
And it's a good safety feature, too, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, we've got about 15 seconds. Where do we get more information on SoftRAID? How do people find out more info?
Thank you. SoftRAID is just www.softraid.com. We sell it electronically for $129. Our tech support is by email only, but it's 7 days a week, and it's pretty much in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. We're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. How you doing, Brad?
Oh, we're doing great, Scott.
You know, we had a very cool first hour of the show. It just rocked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's very cool. I mean, we learned a whole lot about hard drives.
And we got more to learn here. We got a ton of cool stuff coming up. We've had, so far on the show, we had Philip Hodges talking about post-production news. Andy Shallot talking about the difference of his thoughts between, you know, InDesign and Quark 7. We talked about Vonage for a little bit. We're going to talk about a little bit more here this hour.
Yeah.
Talk about voiceover IP. We had Mark James on, the king of software RAIDs from SoftRAID.
Yeah.
That's cool stuff. I didn't know you could actually use his software, stripe the outside of the drive and mirror the inside. Dude, that is like performance and reliability.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And, it's great
stuff.
Because, you know, typically what you had to do is say you want to do you know, really fast video, high definition video. What you typically had to do is use more drives. You know, because what happens is that as the drive fills up, it gets slower. And so it's about half as fast on the inside of the drive typically as it is on the outside, basically meaning that, you know, you're going to basically, if you start off, you're going to start off at one speed, you know, when your drive is about half full, and then you're going to switch to a much slower speed as that drive fills up. I mean, so it's going to, by doing what the SoftRAID allows you to do, is you just always stay on the fastest part of the drive. And so you get great performance on this, on these drive volumes. It's really nice. I mean, basically, it gives you a whole lot of features. For $129, I think it's a must-have. It's a great, great it's a great product. Certainly gives you a lot of feedback if there are errors in your drive to tell you what's going wrong, as we have found out.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. And then, you know, this hour we're going to have we're having FirmTech on.
Yeah.
In studio.
Yeah. We're getting our hard drive show today.
Well, you know, storage is a big thing. And,
it is.
And FirmTech has been making such cool controllers and hardware stuff for so many years that people don't really know about the stuff they do in the OEM sector. But they do a lot of cool stuff. And now they're actually doing their own brand of stuff now.
Yeah.
And you know, they're the first ones out now with it, with a with the PCI Express.
Yeah, the Express card,
the little miniature card from the new MacBook Pro.
If you've got a MacBook Pro and you're wondering what that little teeny tiny door is, maybe it's like a cockroach door that's like really tiny that's supposed to be a slot for you know, a card. That thing is an Express card, and so that's a piece. What that is that means it's PCI Express. It's not PCMCIA, which is the old technology. This is a fast card slot that will get, I don't know how many lanes of PCI Express it has on that Express card, because I don't know the internals of it, but it's a very fast interface right to that little card. So it's much quicker than what you'd have on your old PowerBook. With the new MacBook Pros, you're getting a significant speed advancement.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Oh, it's very cool. Yeah. Very, very good. So we got that coming up.
We have that coming up, and you know, we're going to have Dina on. Next segment, talking about some cool things going on in the Mac universe this week. And, you know, Apple introduced a new U2 iPod, all black iPod this week, the new fifth gen. But it works for that deal. And then CBS has CSI and Survivors now on iTunes.
Isn't it great? Now on your iPod, you can watch people drink blood and eat brains and ants and stuff. You know, it's fantastic. You know, it's like, it's awesome. What more can you want? You know, you got these guys that you can watch the Survivor show, which has got some really grisly stuff on it, right on your iPod in the comfort of your own home at a nice restaurant, watching other people eat bugs. It's great. It's cool.
I mean, I was sitting on the plane last night coming back from L.A.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people in front of me both had black 30 gigabyte. They were the thin video iPods, and they were watching music videos, you know, while they were on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, just jamming out.
Yeah. I think it's very cool. That short content, it's perfect for it. I think it's ideal. The little small screen, it's fantastic.
My problem is, though, is, you know, I pull out my iPod, I get all the bags packed away, I sit down on the plane seat, and it doesn't matter if it's a half-hour flight or 5 hours. I pull the iPod out, it's like, okay, man, let's watch some cool stuff. And it's like this music right here. I'm out, brother. Done.
That's because you don't sleep at night.
Before I can turn the machine on, before I can turn the iPod on, I'm out. You're just the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Show was brought to you by Mac Update. Do you have a Macintosh? You probably do if you're listening to this show.
You should have a Macintosh if you're looking at this show.
If you don't have one, you will have one soon.
You
know
you will one by the end of the show.
That's right. You know, you need to update the software on your Mac. All the cool stuff from Apple is updated through these software preference pane, but if you have any third-party software, you should really keep up to date on it, make sure there's all the nice little fixes and happiness there, new features. Mac Update. You go there, you find what you're looking for, you click a button, you can go link the link right to the download. You don't have to go click 14 times and look at 3,000
ads. Yeah,
click to get to it, you know. So, you know, it's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah.
Check them out, macupdate.com. So we've been talking about the things going on this week, and we have Dina Orlando with us now. She is the host of the Inside Mac Minute, the brand new daily Macintosh news program that's hitting the streets on Monday.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hey, Dina, how are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. Thanks.
Cool. So, you know, what's happening this past week in the world of Macintosh? Anything cool?
Oh, actually, a lot of things happened last week. Yeah. But this one was last week you and Brad were talking about the iPod killer with Microsoft and all that.
Yeah. The goofballs were trying to think they can kill the iPod. But now you come up and maybe, you know.
Yeah. They're actually saying... they're saying the announcement that came out of Japan was simply about the Japanese launch of the Windows Media Player 11.
Oh, so they heard us bashing on him so bad they're backpedaling.
Yeah, we never said that.
Yeah, he said that due to the translation issues, this was a Microsoft rep, by the way, who didn't want to be named.
Oh, he said, he doesn't want to lose his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he said due to the translation issues, the announcement was misconstrued to sound like Microsoft was developing a rival to the iPod, and that's just not the case. So, yeah, they must have heard what you guys were talking about last week.
Wow. Well, you know, I still think that Microsoft has such a terrible user experience that, like, you know, anybody can throw chips together in a box.
Uh-huh. And they can send the software development out to some third world country.
Right.
And get it done.
But there's no back-end support. There's no iTunes.
Exactly. They'll just put you on a tech support with a guy that can't speak English.
That's one reason. Here's a perfect example of back-end support. And anybody can throw chips together, but here's the difference. Like our friends here, you know, from FirmTech, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can throw chips on a board and make a SATA card or a serial ATA or any kind of interface.
Yep.
But unless you have the firmware and the drivers to make all the stuff work, the stuff's garbage.
It's just garbage.
That's with Microsoft. You know, they can throw chips in a box. They don't have the user experience. They don't have the drivers like FirmTech writes their own code, okay? Mm-hmm. So their stuff works. And you can buy some other card from who knows, God knows who, and it looks the same. It's a card with a connector on the back. It doesn't work. It's the same thing with this whole iTunes gig. It's like having an iPod without iTunes.
Oh, it's time is money, you know? You just decide whether you want to buy the lowest cost product and waste a lot of time or buy the best product and save a bunch of time.
I have one. Stop your crying and start your buying.
Exactly.
Okay. What else is happening?
Well, speaking of time, you mentioned time.
Yes.
The magazine praised Apple this past week. I believe it was yesterday, actually. They did a review for the newly released 13-inch MacBook, and the article compared it to the sibling, the MacBook Pro, and it said that it offers almost everything the MacBook Pro offers, but the price is surprisingly low, and even lower if you're a student. The article noted that this new MacBook you get to try out Boot Camp, which installs Windows XP, so you can choose either Windows or Mac when you start up the computer. The article went to explain that everything works well together, and even MTV's Urge works well with the iRiver Klix music player. So it noted that Windows Vista, I believe it's Vista or Vista.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, Vista. It's a longhorn. It's a bovine walking
Hasta
off
la
the cliff.
Vista.
Yeah,
it was saying that it's on its way, but it may or not be a success. So you can be sure the MacBook will be a success. But the closing of the article was the coolest. It said that the fact that you have one computer that can run both Mac and Windows, Dell and HP should be very worried indeed.
Just go out in the garage and break out the can of gasoline and light it up. Who wants a PC anyway? It doesn't matter. But, you know, it's a cool story, and it's good that they're, you know, that mainstream press is getting some of this new Apple technology, and they're digging it.
Well, the funny thing is that, I mean, like, probably most of the pros and probably the most of the mainstream press is actually on Macintoshes already. So they're writing these articles.
On a PowerBook going, this new MacBook's this cool.
Or they're saying, this new Dell computer is the hottest stuff in the market, blah, blah, blah. And they're like writing it, of course, on a MacBook Pro or something. It's kind of funny.
There's another, this is Google. But Google is doing very well, actually. It's held a commanding lead as the preferred U.S. search engine in May. It processed almost 60% of all queries filed, which was way ahead of its two closest competitors, Yahoo and Microsoft. According to market researchers Hitwise, Google took 59.3% of search queries, followed by Yahoo, which was a distant second place in 22%, and Microsoft's MSN with 12.1%. Even though both Yahoo and Microsoft have invested in improving their search engines, Google continues to stronghold the market. Yet Microsoft and Yahoo are continuing to insist that search engine technology is still in its infancy. An opportunity exists to end Google's reign.
No way.
No, I don't think
another,
so.
They dropped another big piece of crack in their pipe.
Exactly.
And Microsoft's smoking it again.
That's right.
There's no way they're going to undermine Google. I mean.
Well, not with the engineering staffs that are at these companies now. I mean, they're so diluted. I mean, Google is hiring the best and the brightest. In fact, from what I've heard from the inside is that they're actually so incredibly picky about who they hire that it's actually causing them problems internally now. But they literally hire the very best. I mean, this
like
is
Apple,
a strong company. Yeah.
Back to the old saying, stop your crying and start your buying.
Exactly.
You pay for what you get.
Exactly. That's why they're growing like crazy. And that's why those companies are doing so well.
Major League Baseball now is using iPods. I don't know if you heard about that.
Really?
Yeah, well, actually, I don't know if the whole, NBA is using it, but Rockies are. And they're using it to help hitters find their groove, to tracking the upcoming draft picks, future free agents. And the Rockies video team, they load the player's iPod with their hits from the previous week, all of their past at-bats, and the whole 2005 highlight reel. So far, only the Rockies are using it, and they've, you know, it goes on to say that one of the Red Sox was saying, you know, I'm a purist, I'd rather listen to 50 Cent, as opposed to, you know, learning and watching baseball. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
See if it gets traded next year.
That's interesting. That's interesting. You know, another thing, too, is I noticed now when I made my trip to Hollywood last week to deal with some of these other cats, you know, and then up there. I also made a trip down to Disneyland to talk to some cats in PR down there, okay, at Disney. And I noticed that actually yesterday one of the tour guides was given the tour, okay, the gal in a little checkered outfit, okay. Yeah. She had an iPod Nano in her hand. She was looking at it, and it was wired to some little brick on her side. The outboard of the iPod Nano was going to some little brick that was clipped on her belt, but she kept looking down to this Nano as she's doing her
spiel.
And I don't know if she was listening to this somehow or what this little brick deal was. I don't know. But they were using iPod Nanos now at Disney when they're doing their tours.
Yeah.
And they were upstairs at the Disney Gallery in the New Orleans area that was actually built to be Walt's apartment before he died.
Right.
Where the gallery is right now, where all the fine art is, and you can go up the stairs and look at it.
Uh-huh.
And she was given the tour about that, and they were using iPod Nano.
Oh,
so now you got the Rockies, now Disney.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep.
See, now we're starting to hit critical mass, brother. You're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the official printer of the Inside Mac show, Printing for Less. You can give these guys any hacked file that came out of any piece of software,
Mac
or Heathenbox. They'll actually print it. They'll make it work.
Yeah, and that's the big thing about it is that even with PDF, you know, as PDF is universal as it is, I've found it. I've tried to take PDF files to Kinko's and I've had problems. And that's why Printing for Less is so good, is because they have all that expertise to know how to handle these files and to get them to print out exactly like you compose them on your computer.
Yeah, it's amazing though. You can send them stuff and they'll just, you know,
I send them
press ready PDFs that are actually saved out as a press ready PDF, as just a graphic saved as a PDF.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No work needed. Drop it in, they print it, done. Full offset printers, ink on paper, cool stuff. Check them out, printingforless.com. So we're talking about the iPod, the story about the baseball catch, you know. I still don't understand what Disney was using this with the tour guide.
Yeah.
I didn't really ask her because there was,
you know
25 people with her. But she kept glancing down at this Nano, black Nano in her right hand.
Yeah.
And it had a cable running from the bottom of the Nano to this little black box about, I don't know, twice the size of an iPod clipped to her little belt.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what it was.
Well, you know, I mean, it really, you think
about
it. It
wasn't a big battery pack. It was an audio outport, so I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something, maybe it's a translation gig. Maybe, I don't know what
it, it could be. It could be. Who knows? Yeah.
No, I mean, comprende, it's a riddle. Whoa.
There you go. No comprende, it's a riddle. That's right.
Siempre se sentagos por favor. Right. There you go.
Let's get back to Dina.
Cool stories on the Mac this week.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Where do I go from there? Speaking of iPods, we all know about Creative and Apple and their lawsuits and all this crazy stuff happening.
Yeah.
Well, early on, Apple actually sought Creative for help. This is a big story that happened early this week. They're saying that according to documents obtained by the Wall Street Journal, Creative filings claimed that Jobs approached the Creative employee at the January 2001 Macworld trade show and praised the Nomad MP3 player. The two discussed a possible meeting, and Mr. Jobs indicated Apple wanted a smaller version of the Nomad. And the next month, Creative executives met again with Mr. Jobs. Apple offered its two proposals at this time, but Creative declined both overtures. And in October of the same year, along came the first iPod. So ever since then, they've been going, you know, head-to-head and legal battles.
I know a guy, I worked with a guy in a past life that actually had the original Nomad player that was still a prototype. And I showed him the iPod, which was like very soon after I got it, which is very, you know, pretty soon after it came out. And he was astounded at the technical differences and how far things that he had complained about when he worked at Creative internally about with the Nomad were suddenly fixed now in the iPod. It's pretty amazing, but Creative just didn't listen. You know, maybe this is another situation where they just didn't listen. They didn't get it.
The Creative actually filed the first lawsuit. They're saying that they violated the Zen patent. So Apple countersued and then filed an additional copyright lawsuit. They did this last week for the Eastern Court District of Texas. And what happened was Apple was actually hoping to either license Creative's technology or invest in a new company that would develop the Creative MP3 player. But since that didn't happen, the lawsuits were persisting. And Creative now has less than 10% of the market share, and Apple has 77%.
You know what's cool, though? Apple has so much cash. They could just buy Creative and flush it and say, go away. Really. And spend probably less money because Creative is worth nothing.
Yeah.
And buy them and flush them and not even worry about spending money on legal. It's the point, though.
This is the whole thing. You got to listen to your customers. You got to listen to the feedback. If you don't listen to your customers, you don't understand the feedback, you're not receptive to it, you're lost.
Back to the whole deal, man. It's like having an interface car without a driver.
That's right.
You got a Nomad, and you got no back-end system. So it's like having this thing plugs in my computer, but it don't work. Well, you know.
And you should have spent $10 more and gotten a real product, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to say?
That's right.
Buy an iPod.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dina, thanks.
Yeah,
she's going to be back, actually, one more segment.
Oh, cool.
I think we might talk more about Vonage here.
Yeah.
And then we got FirmTech coming up. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. If you want to know about production, pre-production, post-production, distribution. Yes. Check it out, digitalproductionbuzz.com, Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com.
And go get your digital production buzz on.
That's it. You can listen to him and Grady Fletcher. And if you figure one who that is, then you'll know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Look that one up in the movie database and find
IMDb.
Who his co-host.
Yes, IMDb. Go check out IMDb and
Grady Fletcher.
And look for Grady Fletcher. And
he was a Borg too.
Oh, he was.
Yes.
Oh, I gotta look for him.
But he was also a captain.
Oh,
check that
right
out.
Yeah.
We're not gonna tell you who. We'll leave that for a contest coming up here. DigitalProductionBuzz.com.
Get buzzed.
So you're here with Scott Shepard, Dino Orlando, and Brad Wright. We've been talking about some of the current stuff going on in Lando Mac, talking about all kinds of cool things. The iPod deal, you know. You have another cool story.
Yeah, this one's fun. This one's a real fun one.
Really? I love fun.
Yeah.
Yay.
We're going to have lots of fun with this one. Actually, it's pasted everywhere. Any kind of, you know, PC,
you were dead
Mac.
Last week. You wouldn't have heard it.
Yeah. It talks about iPods beating beer among college students. I don't know. Did you hear about that at all? Or
yeah. Party school. That's hard to believe. At party schools, they're like, no, I don't want a beer. I just want an iPod.
Give me an iPod. In a survey that was conducted, actually, by the Ridgewood, New Jersey-based Student Monitor, says 73% of 1,200 students across 100 U.S. colleges, they may have skipped out on the party colleges.
I think they left them off the survey.
Yeah, it's only 100 U.S. colleges. But they said that iPods were in more than any other item that was available on the survey, including text messaging, download music, and beer, which was rated second and tied with this popular social network. What was it?
MySpace.
No, actually, Facebook.com.
Oh.
I've never heard of Facebook.com.
No, I heard that one. Maybe that's the company you invest in next.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's among college students, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the iPod's popularity continued to grow every year since 1 year ago. Only 53% felt it was in. And anyway, what was the number one at that time? What do you think number one was when last year?
Beer.
Last year?
Yeah. Every year, pretty much since then, it was beer and beer hopping. Eric Wheel, who was a managing partner at the Student Monitor, said that the only other time beer was temporarily removed from the coveted number one spot in the 18 years the survey was conducted was in 1997, and that was by the internet.
So this actually means that sort of the iPod has risen to the status
of
level of the
critical mass.
It's hitting to that point where it's just starting to take over, really, culturally and everything. I mean, you know, it's funny. It's like you find the iPod accessories and supplies in almost the weirdest places now. And you're just like, how did this wind up here in this supermarket or Target? I was in Target the other day. They had a whole iPod section in Target, which is just strange. I mean, just feels very strange. And some of these other stores, you know, that you see them in, the vending machines and whatnot. So it really has, it's hit incredible critical mass.
What's to be expected? We already knew this.
We knew it was coming. I knew the first day that my first, I think this is like when I first got my iPod, I was just, this is like the first generation. I was just crazy about it. I mean, it just it blew everything else out of the way on the market. It was, you know, you knew it was a hot product.
Now we got a new one.
Yeah.
Brand new. We got 30 seconds left, but brand new iPod, all black, black on the back too, black stainless on the back. So they've done some coating to the stainless to make it black.
Yeah, pretty so nice. Anodized black. Aluminum. So it won't scratch on the back.
Something.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Check it out, apple.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up, we're going to have FirmTech. We're going to talk about Serial ATA, what all this stuff is, what FirmTech is, where they've been, where they're going, the cool products they make, and they have the first eExpress card for the PowerBook MacBook Pro. It's at us, so cool. We'll be right back.
Thanks for calling. This is Tom. I'm not in right now. In fact, I'll be out most of the day. I need to go to the computer repair shop. My Mac crashed big time. There I was working on the final version of the annual report when, boom, I crashed. I am so dead. No backup, no vacation, no job. Life sucks.
Hey, Tom, this is Rich, your neighbor. Sorry to hear about your computer crash. Too bad you weren't using Tech Tool Pro. It could have fixed your drive and recovered your files in a few minutes. Go check it out at www.micromat.com. So anyway, I'm calling about some crazy kid that just drove his car through your side fence. There's a 67 Chevy sitting at the bottom of your pool. Take care.
Macintosh for the new millennium. This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OS X FAQ. If you want the place to go for Mac OS X tips, tricks, tips of the day, information on Apple Developer Connection, Apple hot deals, you name it, everything's there. Mac Minute stuff, Mac update updates, everything that a Mac user
everything you'd ever want in the entire universe here,
that's
now,
it.
There,
now.
There, OSX, get it.
OSXFAQ.com. Right now we're joined by a very special guest here in studio. We have Kim Chi Stanford. How are you doing, Kim?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. You are the CEO of FirmTech.
Yes.
So FirmTech, you have been working in the Mac space for many years. Maybe not as FirmTech in the public, but you guys have done it. You were the first ones to bring ATA to the Mac. Give me a little background on FirmTech, and you guys started out when basically the only storage stuff on the Mac was like SCSI.
That is true.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, FirmTech has been around in the market since 9 years ago, but most of our solution is go through and provided to our OEM customer only. So therefore, you know, we recently, in the last 3 years, we bring out the SuriTech product line. I start with the Serial ATA with a two-port internal Serial ATA. A lot of people asking, you know, FirmTech, we never heard about your name. Well, we only heard about the other company name, but you know, how come recently we just only hear your name? So I say, well, that is so true because you know, most of our product is go through the OEM channels. That's why we finally decide we go with the Serial ATA solution for our brand name, SuriTech.
Yeah, you had a hot enough product and you could make it on your own, I basically, and do the advertising and then deliver it.
The motivation is because the customer, you know, who are really looking to it and they found because, you know, we have a signature in our firmware and they go directly to us for technical support. That's
So there wasn't much value added in those resellers and OEMs. They didn't add a lot of value. They just forward you over to their site. We don't know anything about it. Just go talk to these guys.
Exactly.
Wow.
Right, because you know, a lot of people, you know, you can find a lot of hardware, but there's really not good drivers for it. You guys actually are engineers and you write drivers for your hardware.
That is so true.
Everything's done in-house.
That is true because we are the engineering house. Our engineer came from former Quantum, which is in the dry industry, mm-hmm. and also they came from Apple. So that's why kind of we understand inside out.
Yeah. But
right, because this is very difficult to write device-level drivers. Well, it's even lower than kernel extensions on some forms.
Not only that,
actually make the stuff work.
But a lot of this stuff is kind of bleeding edge, and so you have to, expect that what the chip says it does, it doesn't always do. And so that's a key thing, you know, that people don't quite understand. It doesn't always do what it says it does, and so you need people that work that out.
No, not only that, it's just because everybody over there, I mean, the third company, they might come out a product, but they always have a timeline, the constraint, like, you know, 6 month project to be done. But for us, you know, we got to make sure our product to be reliable and quality product only.
Yes.
And you know, we had many product in line and we killed the product in the last minute because we don't think that we offer going to be the quality product to the customer. And so we'd rather, you know, kill the product then. You know, provide
a solution. Have endless tech support on a product that doesn't quite live up to its.
Well, tech support is not important. The more important is because we provide a data storage solution for customer,
right.
And we value customer, you know, storage, and we don't want customers really upset. You know, hey, I have very very important data. For example, you know, I took a photo, you know, or I capture, you know, my video, and guess what? My data lost.
Yeah, that's a problem. You don't want to deal with lost data.
No. We want people, customer happy.
So, you, like I said, you guys have been making OEM product for years for other vendors.
Yes.
You have your own brand. Now you're doing your own stuff. Let's talk about, I guess, the real popular, the big story here is at NAB, you announced a serial ATA card for the PCI Express bus, the little teeny card for the new MacBook Pros.
Yeah.
It's small, but very powerful.
It is, and I wonder why they went with, even though it's a faster bus, why they actually, the standard and the spec went from a big card to a small card.
Well, that's a good question. Well, as you see, the MacBook Pro, very small, compact.
Yeah.
And Apple always, you know.
On the bleeding edge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, we caught by surprise too because, you know, we was prepared with the PCI Express 54, but Apple, you know, announced it with the 34. So we have to turn around with the redesigned hardware.
So there's two different specs. There's the 54, which is a wider slot, and then there's the 34, which is a smaller slot. So Apple went with the smaller slot.
Right.
And does the smaller slot, as you were explaining, I think off the air, has one lane of PCI Express?
No, the one lane Express is basically that the bus came from the designer of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And happened to be, you know, this car is one lane, which is compatible with Apple, you know, providing one lane on the Express bus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so we have an announcement of this card at NAB. And you also have the 1SM2, that is the full-size 32-bit regular PCI MCIA card.
Right, that's
correct.
That
fits the older PowerBooks.
Yeah.
Right.
That
now,
type
which,
of stuff.
Now, which one is actually a faster card?
Well, can you guess?
The little one.
The little one is faster.
Right, that's why I mentioned before, the smaller, but, you know, more powerful.
Yes.
So you have these cards, and then you're actually shipping the small card now. Actually, are they both shipping or only as a bundle, or how is that working now?
We provide a full product line to the Apple. Basically, you know, customer can interchangeable between the Power Mac and the Power Book or the Notebook together, you know, via our external solution, storage solution. Which is, you know, we do provide a 2-bay and a 4-bay enclosure to come with bundle with the card.
Right. So let's talk about that. So we have the card now. Both the cards are shipping. You can buy them individually or with a bundle.
Yes, you can.
Now you have the enclosures. And let's talk about that because there's a lot of people that make enclosures, but these enclosures are unique. But the construction, you know, matches the look and feel of the Mac, but it's been tested and everything matches with the interface cards.
So let's talk about that.
And right now,
really
the first
nice.
One you have is a 2-bay enclosure.
Mm-hmm. It's all aluminum. It's brushed aluminum, so it has about the same color and look as your PowerBook or your MacBook. And it's all nice and rounded corners, so it's nothing, you know, sharp or it's going to be jarring. It's really nice looking product.
Thank you.
It is beautiful.
Actually, this enclosure is second generation of our first popular enclosure of the 1EN2. We did not realize or we did not sure who is our target, you know, customer. So after we shipped, you know, the 1EN2 enclosure, and we hear a lot of feedback from customers, you know, it's providing and give us some idea, you know, what to construct for the next solution. For example, in this 2EN2 enclosure, we have the fan speed controllable. That the enclosure is very quiet, but the customer can adjust the switches itself to a different level of the fan speed.
Right. So when, that's a key is if you're working on broadcast video or you're working on audio, you don't want extra noise. And just noise is fatiguing. And so you can drop the fan speed.
Exactly. In the studio recording, you know, they can drop it down very low at quiet. Or if they're using with a 10,000 RPM, they can crank it up with the high level setting speed.
Mm, that's nice. Wow.
It is a beautiful drive, and it even has the lock in the back, so you can use the Kensington cable.
That is so true.
Cable lock on the back.
That is true. And the standout of our enclosure is we are using direct back blend. As you see that, you know, we don't have any cable, you know, clumsy inside enclosures.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, really look inside this drive. It's actually a FirmTech board.
Yeah.
Made by FirmTech, the whole thing. But I mean, if you look at the back, it's very compact inside.
So effectively, all the way through this board, there is no cabling. There's nothing really that looks like it's going to break or fall off. It looks like it's really industrial. It's solid. It just looks fantastic. This case is...
It's really the nicest closure I've seen.
This feels
when
like something...
to something like this, especially... And then the thing is, these are removable bays.
That is true.
That you can actually remove the drive in a sled, and you can lock them.
Yes, that's true. Because, you know, we don't want to, you know, for someone to walk up and remove the dry wire, you know,
they're packing their system up to it. Yeah.
Yep. We provide the tray are interchangeable that you can run with the MacBook Pro on the field. Mm-hmm. And when you back to the, to the station, you can interchange, pull the dry from a 2-bay enclosure and, you know, snap into the 4-bay enclosure.
Yeah. That's really nice. Or if you're basically doing a RAID system between the two drives, you just pop them in and out and carry a spare.
That is so true.
Really nice.
Hey, cool stuff. You're here with Kim Chi Stanford from FirmTech. And we've been talking about their eSATA cards for the PCI, MCIA Express slot, the big one, the small one, the enclosures, cool stuff. You're listening Inside Mac Show. And we'll be right back with Kim Chi. And then we'll talk about more of these cool things from FirmTech. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by...
Listener of the Inside Mac radio program.
Yeah, so you can check out more information on what we're up to if you go to InsideMacRadio.com or go on over to iTunes, and you can check that out. If you're not if you're listening to this on the radio right now and you want to find out more information or you didn't catch everything and you want to grab it on a podcast, just go over to iTunes, type in Inside Mac, or go over to InsideMacRadio.com. We're here with Kim Chi Stanford from FirmTech. They have some beautiful stuff. We've been talking about the brand new PCIe MCIA Express, the small miniature card that is shipped in the brand new MacBook Pros that they actually have out now, shipping for the serial ATA interface for drives.
I think it's kind of like the size of a large pack of gum. The bigger packs of gum, we have the big multi-packs you get.
Yeah.
It's about that size.
It's small. It's very cool.
It's nice.
And then, of course, they have the big one out for the regular 32-bit PCIe MCIA slot for the older PowerBooks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool there. And then they have two enclosures she actually brought with her today. There's a 2-drive version and a 4-drive. The 4-drive's cool. It's got a built-in power supply. It's all there. So you just need to plug a 3-prong grounded power cord into it, and it's all there.
Yeah, I like that. Because one of the things is there's no power brick on the whole enclosure is just this box right here. Oops.
Yep.
Sliding across. And that's the one thing you really hate is actually add bulk. I have a 4-drive enclosure I put together myself, and it's about 4 times the size of this one.
Yeah, and this, I guess, the bigger one, Kim, is mainly made for like a desktop application. Where you would actually have a like a PCI Express or a bigger, one of your bigger cards in it. That's like a 4-port.
Yes, we do bundle this one. Currently, we do offer a bundle with the PCIX, but in the future, we will bundle with, you know, a PCI Express as well, too.
And then you sell this also by itself separately without an interface card?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go through the line here real quick because we've got a couple minutes left. The new small card for the PCMCI Express one.
Uh-huh.
This is available now.
Available now.
And it's around $100, somewhere around there?
It's $120.
Okay, and then the smaller card's available.
Uh-huh. It's around $90.
Okay, that's great. Now we have two enclosures here.
Uh-huh.
There's a 2-drive enclosure.
Sure.
And this one is around?
Around $200.
And the bigger 4-1 with the built-in power supply and all the cool guy stuff.
And it's $500.
That's a great deal, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a smoking deal for the quality of this stuff.
It is. It's built industrial quality, small. Beautiful, beautiful.
It's hot closure. Swappable drives, and that's another thing too. If you have this thing set up, you know, as a RAID box or even as a JBOD,
yeah, there's all kinds of different names.
Yeah, little you know acronyms. You can just pop the lever on this thing and pull a drive out, stick another one in.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah,
it's
so beautiful. You can fill this thing up full of cool Hitachi, IBM. Depth, you know.
I think we've established that this if you don't have a Hitachi drive in your system, go out and buy one and use that as the backup, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
It is cool. Well, now, where can we find out more information about FirmTech, the cards, the drives, everything you guys are up to?
Actually, I forgot to mention to you about, you know, the enclosure and the dry and the card that you can
do a combo.
Set up with the RAID. Like, you know, your earlier guest, Mark Jam, you know, you can use the sub-RAID software or Apple built-in RAID software to build the RAID array, you know, RAID 0 or RAID 1 together.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like I said, you can use the soft RAID stuff or Apple's built-in software and do that. Now, you can find out more information at, their website is FirmTech. That's FirmTech.
Yeah, that's correct.
FirmTech.com.
Yes.
T-E-K, and everything's there.
Yes.
Yes, T-E-K.
T-E-K.
Tech.
Tech.
As in tech, but not tech.
Not T-E-C-H.
Right.
You won't get there. You'll
so
get the wrong place.
www.firmtek.com.
Yes.
Kimchi, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
We're going to have you guys back more because there's so much to talk about this whole Saturday, and we didn't really even get into the technologies. And, you know, I definitely want you back because there's a difference between SATA, SATA 2, eSATA, all these different things. It's really confusing. And since you guys actually engineer and make this stuff, we definitely want you back talking about it.
We are local.
Oh, that's great. Good deal. She can come back and talk. Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you very much for inviting me to the show.
Glad you were actually to come down. You've been listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. For more information, you can go to InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be back next week with more great stuff about your Mac.